Oh, I recognize that face. You're in trouble, aren't you? Well, I'll take you out to the Outer Rim, but I don't think it's going to do you much good. Why? Well, there's a new bounty hunting group. You haven't heard?
There's a Two-Faced Twi'lek and a Pugilist Droid. If I were you, I'd do my best to avoid the Solonian Captain and the Gandroid Tech. Better watch your back or you're gonna get wrecked. The riding on the sky on fire. Heading to the edge of the Empire. Your number's up and now you gotta pay. Running from the heroes of the Hadean Way.
Previously on Heroes of the Hadean Way. Having made a deal with Flutterplume, the crew of the Sky on Fire began the search for the Wrestler's missing family in the scraplands of Ord Mantell. En route, they found other locals under fire. Illan flew in, hoping to get them to safety, but was thwarted by difficult terrain. The three brawlers took the fight to the pair of angry Savrips, while Berwyn helped marshal everyone back at the speeder. It was not graceful, but the fight was won. However, these people were not from Red Lake. Where is Flutterplume's family, and can the team find them in time? Find out on this week's episode, A Rescue at Rusty Reach.
Welcome to Heroes of the Hadean Way. This is a live play podcast that explores published adventures in the Fantasy Flight Games Star Wars RPG line. Our current adventure is Mesk of the Pyre Queen, and this is Act 2, Episode 5. And I'm Ben, the GM for this adventure.
My name is Leslie, and I play Billy, who's wondering, would anyone like to play a nice game of Sabacc?
Billy, I don't know how well that's going to go over. You know how Berwyn doesn't really like to lie, and you know there's a little bit of subterfuge involved in that. You know what'd be really fun? You know how we played that that game where we were sort of magical and strange, and Kav had set those recording devices up in our chambers, and it was a little strange. I had an idea. What if we all got into the same room to do that, but we sort of like stood up and had fake weapons and acted it all out a bit? Instead.
That sounds like exercise to Illan.
Actually, yes, that's what prompted it. So it's a bit more, you know, live action than the sitting.
But it does still involve role-playing.
Indeed, yes. I think I'd call it... I don't know. I can't possibly imagine what I would call that, actually.
In the same room, pretend.
Yes. Stand up. Stand up. Pretend time.
Can we build a blanket fort? Why am I asking you? I'm the captain. I'm going to build a blanket fort.
Yes, captain. I will construct this. No, Illan should construct the blanket fort.
I'll get the cushions.
I literally come from tunnels. I feel like I should take offense to this.
Actually, Gan don't have blanket forts. Illan isn't quite sure what's being spoken of.
See? That's another way in which Gand are lamer than Solonians in this case.
This Gand is hurt. Ooh. And this Gand has to do exercise, and this Gand has been insulted.
Captain, we discussed this.
Which, remind me which part of this we discussed.
But it's exercise for fun.
Wait a minute. Those two things sound contradictory.
The betrayal.
This is when Illan realizes that everything has been a long con to make them exercise.
Well, Illan did lose 1 pound during the hyperspace trip.
Was that when your one portion of damaged shell sloughed off?
No, it was when the gravity plating was a little on the fritz. But only a little.
That's what I suspected.
Cav doesn't have to put up with this kind of abuse. Cav has the keys to the speeder.
Now, if Cav only had a speeder.
So, Berwyn, what kind of game do you want to play?
Was that all mine? No!
Berwyn is already in the blanket fort. You just see her head slowly rise out of the blanket
as
fort
the
and then slowly goes back inside.
I approve.
You're an otter.
You're an otter.
Not a prairie dog.
Was that all just one long blooper?
No. That's
no, I think that's the intro.
Look, by Act 2, they should know who we are, right?
Yeah.
Hello. If this is your first episode, you've made a terrible mistake. Go back. Find like Trouble Brewing episode 1, or better yet, whatever we named the one before that, where it was episode 0. Or even go back to Dead in the Water. That's also fine. I'm not there, but you should do it.
And to learn more about our characters, we get one hero to ask another a question. Today, it is Billy's turn to ask.
Vistrano.
Yes, Billy?
I have noticed your facial decoration. Is that related to your family? Or your species, perhaps?
Yes, actually, they, I'm glad you ask. Nobody ever asks about them, and I think they're quite fetching. I got them when I was about a teenager. We do this in most Pandoran families as a... I think it sort of varies family to family, but we, in our family, at least, I'm saying the word family a lot, they sort of depict our particular values. And if you look at the one on the right side, it kind of reaches upward, and that is my family has always been very ambitious and constantly reaching to better ourselves. And so it is a bit of a reminder, you know, when I look into a mirror, to constantly be striving to be better.
Your family does seem to follow you quite frequently in your thoughts.
Indeed, well, they are a presence in my life. But yes, and the left one, I actually forget what that one means, but I think it just makes me look a little bit dashing, if I, in profile.
I'm inclined to agree. Perhaps we should aid Ilan in capturing the speeder once more.
Oh, right, yes.
As the two of you are jogging after the land speeder that Ilan has been able to get into, and I'm as, yeah.
Yeah, the camera this whole time was kind of like a two-shot of Billy and Vistrano staring off to somewhere... like off camera, and then just cut at the end.
Ilan can't breathe heavily, but still is somehow winded by the running and catching of the speeder and setting the brake. And is just sitting in the driver's seat now, slumped over the steering wheel.
I wish I could rely upon D1C3 not to make me kill us if I were to swoop Vistrano up in a carry and jump over, but I know better.
Okay, Ilan has caught the speeder.
I'm still not certain why it has moved so far without anyone in it.
Cav might have forgotten to set the parking brake.
I see. Billy casts a sidelong glance at Berowyn.
The Scand apologizes.
What? I wasn't driving.
There's no need to apologize. We were in the middle of a scuffle. Can't possibly be expected to remember that.
It was rather a rumpus, don't you believe?
It was a bit of a row.
Billy, you're dented.
Yes, can you help her? I can't do anything about that, and it looks quite grave.
Cav pulls out a little mallet and walks over towards Billy.
Yeah.
I was thinking the suction things that you kind of plant on and then you twist and it whoomp, pops it back into place.
I feel like Vistrano is like super into this or interested in this and is just staring, like taking mental notes.
Well, ding, ding, ding.
I'm sort of figuring that as this is happening, there's Flutterplume with like their arm around the environment suit of one of the adults, just sort of not exactly limping, just sort of walking up. It's like, what have I gotten myself into?
Environment suit?
If we're out here all the time, it just... we wear these so that the things that we find, the weather, if you want to call it that, that shows up, that we're not as affected by. Just the other day, there was a coolant leak from one of the mechanisms that we were trying to disassemble for some parts. But from that, if we weren't in the environment suit, well, bad things would happen. And considering this entire place is either decomposing or salvage, well, it's just a little bit better for us to have these on as a preventative measure. if we're out here in the scraplands wandering.
Ah, Cavsees.
Much thanks for your help. We're taking the salvage here to Fifth Wheel for trade. Anything we have is yours. Like, please take. But please, we've seen droids like yours before, and we don't want any trouble.
Oh, no. Cav and the crew have no intention of...
And Ilan looks awkwardly towards Barrowen.
We're not here to make any trouble. We just saw...
Billy's looking at K1 and the other droids like, why are they scared of them?
They know a danger ball when they see one. Much less when they see six.
Now that you can actually get a good look at the person in there, it actually is a human in the environment suit. Bit of a beard going, looking a little bit on the ragged side. The environmental suit looks like it has been patched over completely at this point. Like, it's patches upon patches upon patches. The other people are slowly walking over. The two adolescents are pushing a somewhat sizable cart. Almost looks like a movable pallet jack, just with repulsors, that has a bin of some variety on top of it. That it's pretty big.
That's just like a giant shopping cart of scrap.
Yeah. On the other hand, like, giant industrial size shopping cart. Kind of like, say, you raided a Home Depot or something.
Can Ilan live here forever?
Billy will raise her hand to ask a question.
Yes, Billy.
Sorry.
The monkey was sad.
Pay no mind to the train.
Well, you see, it's... On Ormantel, there actually are trains, so it's kind of not bad background.
It's good ambience. Ambulance.
Exactly.
Billy will look at the people. Are any of you from Red Lake?
The one who had helped Flutterplume back to the speeder. It's like, oh. No, we heard about them, but we... No, none of us here from Red Lake. We mostly deal at Fifth Wheel. And, like, they start looking down towards the grub-covered ground. And the one of the other adults gives a one-armed hug to one of the adolescents.
What have you heard?
We heard that they got taken to the Rusty Reach. And, there's only one way that people come out of the Rusty Reach.
I'm gonna guess from your tone of voice that it's a bad way.
Oh, yes, miss. Any of the people who are taken as slaves at the Rusty Reach don't really come out. They are plied with spice and worked until they die.
Cheery. Sounds cheery. Can you point us in that direction? The Reach, I mean.
Ilan would like to change Ilan's vote to stay on this planet forever.
Me and the family have never been to the Rusty Reach on account of we're talking to you here, but we've heard rumors that they are about 10 clicks north-northwest here. Thank you so much for dealing with these Avrips. They've been tracking us for the better part of a week, and we thought we lost him just this morning, but we were looking at his pipe then. Theo slipped and made such a ruckus. And we were able to get Theo out, but the rips were already here. And then, well, we tried to hold him off, but if not for you, we probably wouldn't have made it to Fifth Wheel.
No, it's our pleasure. I know a thing or two about having to corral a bunch of children.
Billy waits to see if anybody else picks up on the statement. Thank you for your assistance. Do you require further aid to get where you need to be, or shall we depart?
Thank you kindly, but we aren't really needing any more escort. Fifth Wheel isn't too far from here. It's just off and points to the west. It's the closest place where we can get a access to the scrap train and sell some of the pieces that we've been able to find.
We wouldn't want to keep you any longer. Just best of luck the rest of your way. And thank you for the directions.
Thank you kindly, then. And makes motion for the other four to start moving, and the two kids are pushing and steering the pallet jack as the two with the rifles are keeping an eye out, and the third one is just sort of looking up ahead and then glancing down at a comm device that looks to have a compass on it.
Billy will offer a hand to let to help Flutterplume back into the vehicle, since she kind of took a gut punch.
Flutterplume, what do you know about Rusty Reach? Is this a city of slavers?
No, it's just an outpost. They sort salvage there. They've got a pit where they go and dig up. It moves every now and then, but last I heard, at least before I came to Woolport, they had a vein of something that they were salvaging, and it's been going on for Criff near a year. But the way that those slavers drive their people, they just keep on killing them.
The crew will need to conduct some reconnaissance, but this wouldn't be the first facility that the crew has had to storm.
I suggest we begin making our way.
Yes. All aboard!
Woo-woo!
You're able to take the general direction that Evan gave you, and you're able to, like, choosing directions, you are pretty quickly able to get to the general vicinity. And, like, it's going from sort of valley to valley to valley to valley. There is a huge amount of scrap here, and you aren't quite sure whether it's, like, windblown or whether it's, like, just people coming through and picking it and moving scrap into piles or something. But there's, like, these natural valleys or gorges that you follow. And as you come to the edge of one, the heaps of rubbish piled to the sides of the crude road begin to recede. The terrain surrounding you appears to have been bulldozed and in some places excavated. Ahead, you see the combination of dust and smoke. Ahead of you, the combination of dust and smoke thins for a moment, revealing a walled compound surrounded on all sides by 100 meters of killing ground. Armed figures keep watch from the rusting metal towers, while other guards ceaselessly patrol the makeshift walls. A thick, gray-black smoke rises from the center of the complex.
Is there... Well, given all of the junk and everything, would it be possible to pull the speeder somewhere where it would remain out of sight of the guards?
Kind of want a stealth roll for that, but it's also going to be a... That is going to be a grand total of a one purple stealth roll.
Okay. All right, Cav has a random boost on stealth rolls. Is there any way to make use of my little scouting droid squad where they have, like, hiding programming and stuff like that? I know they're not used to hiding a speeder per se, but they might be able to help me figure out kind of the best place, or, you know, kind of scout ahead, find the best place in the lay of the land.
I'd be willing to give you a boost from that.
Okay. If that is counting as their assistance, it actually will be two boosts because of my improved speaks binary.
Fair enough.
Failure with six advantages.
Good grief.
On a one purple chick.
Good grief.
So, here's my proposal. While trying to drive around to find a place to hide the speeder, perhaps I got some of the guards do take notice of the speeder that is like prowling around, but with six advantages, as we're moving along, we find there's a big old hole in their wall.
All right.
Hey, I didn't manage to roll a despair in that one purple.
I'm glad that we haven't stepped into that alternate universe.
Give me time.
So this is the place that you see.
Okay, so the walled compound is energy wall, not...
Yeah.
Not physical wall.
Correct.
So okay. Maybe since this is cav looking, we don't see a hole in the wall, but we see a highly vulnerable spot where we could make a hole in the wall, or perhaps shut down the wall.
Given it's an energy field, that makes more sense to me, too.
Okay, yeah, I can kind of go with that.
Like, maybe one of them is, like, short-circuiting a little bit. Like, we see the blue line go kind of wavy for a moment.
Yeah.
It wiggles, and then it goes back to...
flickers on and off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I can totally go with that, yeah.
Or, like, it just drops at intervals for some reason. Because it was made by Naboo.
Yeah, that if you're wanting to, like, time it and just run just right, you could totally do that.
Okay.
How many advantage are you taking for that? Is that all of them?
The way I figured that it would be is like half of them would be for the existence and half would be for getting close enough to use it.
Okay. So important question. So did we notice them noticing us?
I'm going to go with no because you were distracted by the breach in their wall.
Okay. In that case, Cav would bring the speeder to a stop where Cav thinks the speeder is hidden from sight. And point out the weakness in the energy field.
The crew could sneak in here and look for Flutterplume's family.
And yeah, I'm using a destiny point to say that yeah, you didn't notice them noticing you, noticing them, noticing you.
That's fair.
Feedback loop.
Well, seems like as good a plan as any.
Okay. Should Illyn go in or should Illyn stay with the speeder? It's like a getaway driver.
How big does this place look?
It looks fairly sizable. You're not entirely certain whether it's like just a huge amount of guards or whether it's a huge amount of slaves or exactly what, but the entire facility looks like it could hold maybe 75 people, maybe even close to 100, but it's really hard to say whether that's like mostly workers, whether it's mostly guards. Like, you are able to see a patrol of 5 guards walking around. Yeah, you do also see, like, you see a general mix of people in the other, like, in the patrols. You're fairly certain that they're minions. And you do see this hook walking around.
Was that a hook?
Dressed up.
Or the person's named Hook?
A hook. As in the species.
Okay. That's a new one.
Does he look more important than the others, or is he just...
Yeah, you can see him walking around yelling at people. It's like he goes up to one group, starts discussing things, they stop, look up, start nodding, and then one of them will run off deeper into the compound, and a runner runs up to him and starts talking. Then he'll, like, raise his arms, start yelling, and you can hear sort of a hur-hur-hur. And then the person will run back in.
How big is Flutterplume's family that we're here to find?
The entire village got taken.
Oh, the village.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I assume it was a big village, or at least a village of more than a few people.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to have to find a good way to get them. They're not going to pile into the trunk of our speeder.
No, but I can basically guarantee that gang will have speeders.
So we do see the train. The train is
The train really just sort of winds through the scrap lanes.
All of us start watching the train pass, and all of us are like, or at least Illyn Vistrano and Billy start smiling as they all have the same idea, and Barrowin goes, you know, I can't think of anything.
I would actually like to try something to see if I'm there on this one or not.
Can I roll a knowledge out of Rim to know what the deal is with the train, like what function it serves here, who it is operated by, where it goes, things like that?
Do you want assistance in that?
Well, I want to know if I can roll it first.
I feel like that's something that kind of makes sense in a general way for you to know about, because it's a working train carrying goods and stuff moving through an area that would be mined. So, I mean, I feel like...
I mean, do we know that?
It would have been in, like, the, arrival literature. It's like, come see the scraplands, right on the Mantellan train through the scrap, through the scraplands. Like, it's almost, it's not exactly a tourist attraction, but it's the way that, like, it's a cheap way of getting from Woolport to any of the other smaller cities on Ord Mantell.
I feel like that ad was put in by slavers. Ride the scrap train. It's a great idea.
Is it automated or does it have a crew?
It does have a crew. And yeah, they are scheduled.
We're going to need a way to take the people out of here once we find them. Cav, can the danger balls get us a lay of the land?
The what?
The danger balls.
Your droids, Ilan.
Oh, you mean Ilan's children.
The microarchives, yes.
Yes, that's... I like how we all have a different name for the droids.
Cav is on the same page now, although when the crew is ahead of this, Ilan has some questions about the nicknames that have been applied to Ilan's children.
That's how they appear in the manifest. I can't do anything about that.
It's not technically a nickname. I know how you feel about nicknames. It is a pluralization.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I would call one of them a danger ball. Or maybe just danger ball.
Danger ball.
Ilan will click and buzz some instructions to K4, 5, 6, and now 7 to sneak into the compound and start to look around with instructions to try to find where the slaves are being kept and get a sense of the number of slavers on guard.
Also probably vehicles or anything that might either be dangerous to us if they are armed or something, or be good for carrying.
Right. Weapon emplacements or the vehicles we can use to escape.
Pertinent
or beasts of
burden.
Basically. So go, my minions.
So just so that I'm completely clear on this, are you just sending them in to scout around the entire area and see what they report back, or like they're going into the compound?
Yes.
Okay. In that case, can I get...
Collectively, they are trained in perception, stealth, and knowledge underworld.
Okay, the first thing I will do is get a stealth roll, and it will be against the vigilance of the only one with vigilance. So if they make this, they stay out of the eye lines of the hawk.
Okay.
So, sadly, it's against two reds.
It's okay. With the fact that they are silhouette zero, or the fact that many of them are indistinguishable, help them in any way here?
I would give you an upgrade for that.
Cool. All right, so that would be two yellows, a green, with three boosts because of my three ranks of Speaks Binary versus two red. Three successes and four advantages.
All right.
So the four of them are able to go out through and are able to get the lay of the land inside. Now, to get to see how detailed it is and not just hey, look, there's a lot of places here. I kind of want to get a perception check. In this case, it's going to be... I'm going to flip a destiny point, and it is going to be one red and one purple.
All right. I don't have any good way to argue additional boosts on this one.
Except for the part where you got four advantage.
Oh, that's a good point. Can I pass on two boosts to myself?
Yeah, I can go with that.
And since we have so many destiny points. All right, two yellows, a green, 5 boosts. Red and a purple. 4 successes and 3 advantages.
All right. So, as the little droids are out searching around, they're sort of networked and are able to go about. In the middle, you can see a fairly large ramp going down into the scrap. Like, you can definitely tell that you're... Like, this entire planet is built on scrap. There is just... It's kilometers deep of scrap. Like, how Coruscant is kilometers deep of city, this place is just scrap.
We built this planet.
Pretty much. And...
We built this planet from junk and scrap.
Okay, I'm done now.
Are you sure? So...
I mean, I'm never entirely sure.
Yeah, there's a ramp going down, and there's a few... I've got no other way of describing them other than caves, maybe corridors underground that branch off from there. On the surface...
Maybe tunnels?
Yeah, tunnels kind of work. But those have connotations with the Salonian. There is two patrol groups that are going around the walls. One is probably going to be to you guys, or one is going to be to y'all in about a couple minutes by the time the keys get back.
Okay. And, but they did note that they were heading in our direction.
Yeah, they did note that one of the two patrols are heading in your direction. There's 5 beings to each patrol. There's a hook who seems to be running the place. And where people are working, they saw at least a 3-person group that seemed to be armed with, or are, let's see, they are using force pikes to get their way, as opposed to dealing with the blast rifles that the security patrols are dealing with.
Okay. How many, like, slaves appear to be here? At a rough estimate, unless they had time to count.
Somewhere between 4 and 5 dozen.
Okay. Cav will relay all of that.
The most pressing piece of information is that one of the patrols is heading this way. Illyn recommends that the crew withdraw for the moment until the patrol's passed.
I believe we should take advantage of their attention, and perhaps draw more attention.
Is Billy suggesting attacking?
Billy kind of flexes her legs. I can get there quickly.
There are only about 14 beings that Illyn's children saw. And they aren't nice beings, so the crew could dispatch them.
Still probably better not to get into a firefight with all of them at once.
Of that, Illyn will agree.
However, if I provide distraction, you could arrive without drawing fires directly.
Illyn could also attach the scope to Illyn's rifle and find a perch.
I think that is a tremendous idea, yes. Keeps you out of immediate...
I'm with Illyn's plan on this one, Billy, sorry. I don't want anyone throwing themselves into the line of fire again.
Billy just quietly shakes her head. As you will, Captain.
I think Vestrano gets a tiny look of panic. Billy, your idea was clearly very well thought out, and I think that some of us are just remembering very vividly the last sort of compound we were in, and maybe taking a different approach is best.
Billy just shakes her head again. She doesn't look offended or anything. She's just literally kind of like, yeah, okay.
Barrowin is too busy remembering the last kind of compound we were in to notice Vestrano's comment.
Billy moves so that she is next to Flutterplume. She's not making a show of it or anything, but she's just going to stand there because she has a feeling Flutterplume's going to want to go in. And she is willing to provide that opportunity.
Illyn is going to go ahead and replace the forearm grip on the crate's breath, pocket it for the moment, and attach the scope.
Well, if you're going to use that, that's going to bring a lot of attention to where they're fired upon. Now, if Billy, your droid, and your doctor here, Vastrano, and I are set just outside of the fence where the slavers come by to get attacked, then we will be in a position to pounce upon them when we finally get a chance, and when reinforcements arrive.
Ilan likes that idea. Ilan's purpose in recommending this was more to cover the others. Ilan isn't confident that Ilan can take out 14 beings before they would reach Ilan.
Billy will raise her hand like she does.
Billy.
You noticed that there was a weakness to the fence. Is there a way you could disable it from this distance with your weapon?
It might be possible. Ilan can give it a try. Or Ilan can have K-1 go in and do the disabling with tools.
K-1 then mid-translation kind of stops and goes,
wait, what?
Perhaps that is not wise, Ilan. K-1 is uncomfortable with confrontation. I would not want to put K-1 at risk.
Very well, then Ilan will see what Ilan can do from a distance. Billy, that pile of junk there seems quite fitting for a sniper perch. Would Billy mind assisting Ilan in getting to the top?
I can do this with ease, in theory.
But before you go, Ilan, did you see anything that might help us get the slaves out?
Were there any vehicles or anything, Ben?
There did seem to be a hover truck, but otherwise there didn't seem to be any obvious vehicles.
Was the hover truck anywhere near large enough for the number of people that are in need of rescuing?
It'd probably take maybe 20 people.
And how many slaves did we see?
About 3-4 dozen, or 4-5 dozen.
Yeah, there is a speeder truck inside Barrowin, but it is not large enough to hold all of the slaves, not at once.
All right, Billy, you're in command of the rescue team. Ilan, you're on, you know, shooty duty.
If that is what we are calling it, Marilyn, yes.
That is what we're calling it, yes.
And what will Barrowin be doing during this?
I'm going to see if I can find us a ride. A bigger one.
This is Leslie, not Billy, asking. Is Vistrano's juicing still working, or is that gone?
No, it was only for the encounter.
Okay.
But there can be more juicing now.
Yeah, Vistrano has a whole bag of juice.
Billy's not 100% sure on how much she supports being given command in this context, since she was potentially planning on going rogue. Captain, I will ask one favor.
Uh-huh.
I value your aim. Please keep an eye out.
I knew you cared. Keep an eye on Vistrano for me.
Salute.
All right, K6 and 7, guard the perimeter, or the speeder, something.
Are 6 and 7 the ones with guns?
Yes.
Yes.
In my mind, they like being called danger balls.
Well,
7's probably proud of it. 6 is terrified.
As an aside, because I know that this will at least lodge in Leslie's brain, and that gives me some amusement, I have now moved on from we built this city on junk and scrap to danger ball to the tune of danger zone.
Yeah. No, as soon as you said Lodge and Leslie's brain and Danger Ball, I knew where you were headed.
You're welcome. Carry on.
So I did flip a light side point a little bit ago to create a sniper perch, some kind of like big pile of junk or something for Cav.
All right. Because, yeah, the situation around the area is a huge amount of scrap, like just gigantic amounts. So, yeah, on one of those, absolutely finding.
I imagine it basically, or what I'm hoping is that it will put me within long range of at least part of the compound. I realize part of it is probably edging into extreme and Cap can't cover everything, but the crate's breath only has long range.
Yeah, that totally will work.
Cool. Right, so if Billy will zoom Cav to the top.
Dink.
Cav will get low, bring the rifle up to Cav's compound eye, actually removing their sunglasses to prop them on top of their head. We'll start watching for where the punchy team goes.
All right, then Team Punchy. You're going up to the part of the force fence that is flickering, waving.
Mm-hmm. I'm a little sad that we've got shooty duty, but no punchy something.
Crunchy punchy?
The punch pals. Yes.
The punch party.
And Berwin's just sort of disappearing into the trash.
Yeah, she just kind of leaps into the air and
so
dives.
That's your blanket cord.
Scrooge McDuck into coin.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, that's taken about a minute for all that stuff to go down. I'm figuring that not too long later, actually within the next round, the patrol comes by. They take a look at the place where the fence is flickering. One person, like, they just sort of stop, get into a circle and start doing the fairly standard thing of people standing around talking about how, well, yeah, of course it's not going to get fixed. They never send anyone over to fix this stuff. It's always the patrols that, oh yeah, we got to get another patrol going. Never have enough time. So yeah, the five of them are just sort of standing there in front of the flickering force fence on the other side, like on the inside of it.
How high is the fence?
I am going with that it is, as I then do the conversion in my head, about 20 feet tall.
Okay, that's well within my range. And are we near the point where Kev saw the weakness?
Yeah, I'm figuring that, like, this force fence has those spires that it goes in between. I'm figuring that you're behind one of the two spires that the flickering part is going between.
Okay, and is Cav going to try and take that shot?
Once they're in position, yes, since we had discussed it.
Okay. Team Punchy is in position.
Yeah. Ben, if Ilan thinks that a blaster shot would disable the fence, Ilan would do that. Alternatively, is the weak point of the fence, is that within long range or medium range?
I'm figuring that it would be at long range.
Okay, then yeah, it has to be the plasma caster. I can't fire my ion stunner that far. Yep, the train is back, guys. Man, this train is just keeps looping this thing.
Well, it's got to make regular visits because it's got lots of scrap to pick up, put down, slaves to exchange.
Well, and also one of the main stops on it is Yawala. Let me toss it in.
Wow.
The trains are very angry tonight.
As if to prove the point.
I'm just sort of figuring at some point, very shortly, someone's losing a vehicle. Hopefully not their life.
So what would be my difficulty to shoot the thing?
I'm going to go a standard long range, actually. Well, it will be standard long range with aiming at a component. So it will be two setback and three purple. Yeah, essentially a called shot.
Okay, it was two setback.
Yep.
All right, the scope on the crate's breath will knock one of those purples right off.
Okay.
Which is good because I only have one accurate without the forearm grip on it.
All right.
Okay, this is still an uglier roll than I would like.
Take that point if you want.
Sure. I feel like I've been spending all of our destiny points.
Ben will give them back. Don't worry. Ben's good.
Okay, two yellow, a green, and one boost versus two purple and two civic. Nope. Failure with two advantages.
Except this is the Kryat's Breath.
It is.
What can you do on two advantages?
I have to hit in order to burn.
Yeah.
If you're letting me do that, it actually burn is only one advantage now because I've jury-rigged the Kryat's Breath.
Good grief.
Because, I mean, if you're going to do that, why not?
I mean, so, if you're doing this at the minion group, yeah, I wouldn't. But you're doing this as a pillar in the ground. I'm figuring that, yeah, I can see the plasma actually hitting. Just
okay.
Not exactly doing the thing that we thought.
Okay, so the plasma connects and begins to... like burn the outside of the thing. I also forgot where do I have this thing now? So the Kryat's Breath, it's been a little while since we've seen it, and Cav hasn't just been modifying the internals. As we see Cav lay down with it and bring the stock to their shoulder, we see that it's been condensed a little bit more. It doesn't seem quite as cumbersome, but looks a little bit more complicated to handle. And Cav has painted the outside of the weapon. There's a stylized dragon head with an open mouth around the barrel and stylized mist and a rainbow of color along the stock. And Cav pulls the trigger and fires that plasma bolt, and it starts to, it misses the actual panel Cav was aiming at, but connects against it just above, and the plasma is burning down onto it.
So with that, yeah, like the plasma splashes against the fence, and they, all of a sudden, the five of them turn around. One of them brings a comlink up to their mouth, and it's like, they start screaming at, "Girk, Girk, we got people out here. They're shooting at the fence."
Yellen starts to turn the rifle towards the person yelling at the comlink. But with the last advantage, I'd like to pass on a boost to my next ally to go.
From where we are with Cav's extra damage, can we actually finish disabling it from the outside?
Yes. Yeah, I would figure that you'd be able to disable it the next time around. I'm figuring that the plasma will essentially burn off any of the outside to the spire, and then it would be someone messing around on the inside to disable it.
In that case, I would like to go next.
Repulsor boots?
If I'm... yeah. Jumping the fence, punching a panel from the inside.
All right. So in that case, now I do want to get the pilot planetary roll.
All right, guys. Guess what I'm not good at.
I mean, it's only going up against a red. Because silhouette one, speed one. Yeah. Totally red.
All right. Yellow, red.
Ugh. Still one more destiny point.
Nah, I like the symmetry.
All right. Hey!
Oh!
So what you get?
Oh. So ready for that to be a despair. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Yellow. Red. Success. Advantage. And I didn't even roll the boost I could have used.
How does that look as you're lifting off from this?
So Billy looks at Vistrano and Flutterplume, seeing that it's not gone down yet. And she says, "Wait here. Be ready." And then she does kind of a crouch and jump move. And literally just hops the fence and lands right next to where she needs to be to do the damage. Am I going to get to punch as well, or is that my whole turn? I'm fine.
I'm going to go with that. Yeah, you're able to punch as well.
Okay. So I'm going to punch it. It's not as dramatic a jump. It's literally just a whoop, whoop, land.
All right. I figure that that's going to turn into a one purple, one red punch, because you are kind of punching into electricity.
One purple, one red. Okay.
Yep. I mean, some people would have an issue with that, yeah.
Some people get shocked off of these things. Not me.
Routinely, yeah.
I'd like to say Kith grew out of it, but we all know that's probably not true.
Yeah, there's no way that that's true.
All right, so I'm going to take that boost, if you don't mind, that I didn't use last time.
All right.
You know what? This is really important that we get in here. Billy thinks this is a really good idea. So she's going to use one of her new skills as a gambler and re-roll a positive die. She is going to re-roll the single advantage yellow.
It's already treated you better than it ever did, David.
So
wow.
I'm just flapping here. So she hops and she lands. And she's kind of off balance when she lands because she's like, should I pay attention to them? No, I need to focus on the thing. So she punches and she just kind of hits the side of the thing and it shifts. And she's like, seriously, come on. And then you know what? She's like, yeah. And she just elbows the panel. It crumples in because the one advantage became two success, which means she got one success and two advantage. My little Star Wars RPG abacus.
That is really awesome.
So excited.
So with that, the fence itself sputters and like all of these, like they're the three main lines of force going across it. Like if you touch, chances are you're getting electrocuted. But they start going and whipping around. And then all of a sudden the three of them cross and then poof, the entire section's gone.
Hey.
And now, within short range of Vastrano and Flutterplume, is a minging group of slaver guards. So, Vastrano, you want to go?
Yeah. All right. When finding minion groups, it doesn't really... So, the fact that I'm just doing, like, a punch, it's fine, because they're just a mass, basically.
Pretty much. If the way that damage works with a minion group is that each minion has a set amount of wounds, and if you go past that much wounds, then you're going past, you're going on to the next one and on to the next one. If you do, say, enough damage to, after their soak, say you were to do like 10 damage to a stormtrooper group, that would actually take out two stormtroopers. Because each of them have five wounds.
Yeah, I was still trying to wrap my head around the minion group fights. Okay. I actually feel like I am going to use a weapon for this, just to mix things up a little bit. Because Vastrano has a vibro knife. So I am going to swipe at this minion group with a vibro knife. And I have my handy dandy dice roll. Okay, what is the difficulty for slicing at the minion group?
Okay, for slicing into the minion group, that shall be two purple.
I guess slicing is a very different term in this game. Whoops.
Yeah. I mean, oops. You're still hacking at things.
This is about
hacking
to, yeah,
and slashing.
You do one check. Kind, it windows the other.
I got a success and two advantage. So, stabby stab. It's three damage plus one damage per six. So that's four damage. This is wounds and not, because I'm not doing the doctor thing.
Yeah.
Do we have any light side points? Or are they all gone?
We should have one or two.
Yeah, you've got two.
Okay, then I am still going to do my flippy flip and make that seven damage.
Okay. Do you have any pierce on that?
Oh, I have pierce two, vicious one.
Next question is, you have two advantage. What are you going to do with the two advantage? Also, what's the crit on that?
Oh, goodness. Okay. Advantage-wise, since I am making a sort of a slicing motion at these are biologic, right?
Yes. They're definitely humanoid.
I'd like to think that since I am good at injuring biologics, you know, just because of knowing what they're made of, mm-hmm. that I have maybe made the ground a little bit slippery because I have sliced at some of them in a very advantageous spot that they are bleeding excessively.
Maybe less you've made the ground slippery, more you've completely off-put their fellows because...
Or that,
you know,
yeah.
squirting death.
Yeah, just gore. Yeah.
What's happening with Vestrana? First juicing up, now slicing people up. He used to be such a nice boy.
We are doing this for good reasons.
I mean, you're taking on a slaver compound. It's kind of a thing to do. The question I do actually have is, what is the crit on that weapon?
I've never used it before. I don't...
If it's a standard vibro weapon, I think they're two.
I was about to say the vibro X was two.
You would be correct.
Oh, it is two. Oh, it is two. Yes. Yes. I wrote that down. So that means I don't do the advantage the way I just said it, because that wasn't even very interesting. And then I use that on the crit. Is that how that works? Yay! Okay, I have never done a crit roll.
Okay, a minions, if you crit on a minion group, you just flat remove one of the minions. You technically do enough damage, you do enough wounds to take out a minion, assuming you hit. And you did 7 damage, pierce 2?
Yes.
Okay, so that would be enough to take out 2 minions from this minion group of 5 and do a little bit of damage to a third one. Now, how does that look for Vestrana?
I would like to think that because I don't have a very high agility, it doesn't look very cool. It is mostly just really almost angry, just slashing. He just reaches up and kind of surgically just slashes out in a wide swath, hitting as many as he can with one long arc of his arm.
Fortuitously, they're all the same height.
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, one swipe takes out 2 of them and nicks a third one. So, yeah, there's Vestrana doing that. You've got Flutterplume then running in after finding a piece of... Like, they've got their Flutterplume mask on, running in, finding a piece of scrap that's on the ground, being able to get up that's, like, shin high, getting a bit of air on that, and then starting to go into them with their... Yeah, this seems like a good idea to use some strain on. Oops, just that. Then Flutterplume runs in. Okay, fine. Here's one. So let's see. Flutterplume runs in, and in a surprise to everyone, gets no advantage. Does get 5 successes, though.
Billy approves.
So let's see.
Oh, I'm scared.
With that, so... Flutterplume, from the rising up, drawing down with their fist, hitting the jaw of the one whom Vestrana had nicked, causing them to just crumple, and then in the same sort of fluid motion, spinning around on their leg and catching one of the other slavers in the abdomen with a kick, sending them flying back into the post next to Billy, causing them to fall down.
Plasma.
Yeah, I was assuming that was slightly higher, but yeah, sure. So, yeah, at the end of that, there's one of the slavers in this group left, which is engaged with that. So they are going to draw a force pike and try and hit the one that seems to be more of a threat.
Which one's that?
I'm going with the big flashy one who just punched out people.
Seems fair. I mean, Vestrana and Flutterplume took out the same amount of people, and I haven't done jack to them yet, so yeah. What do I know?
So they are, well, it's a minion group. They're doing a melee check, so it is going to be... On the other hand, they are going against Flutterplume, which means that's 2 reds. I'm turning that into a yellow because I kind of want to. Okay, That was how it got to be the yellow. So they miss. They got two advantage and one despair because they're trying to hit Flutterplume. So since it feels weird for me to decide a despair against a allied NPC, I want the four of you to figure out what the heck that despair is.
So this despair is good for us.
Yes, the despair is good for you because
this is a new concept.
Yeah.
You're going to have to give me a moment here.
What if they're like their strike moves past the their target gets out of like sidesteps it and they run the pike into the fence?
That's kind of what I was thinking.
I'm for it. So yeah, they go for Flutterplume. Flutterplume dodges out of the way, grabbing the force pike and essentially spinning them, almost so that their feet are going to leave the ground, and then lets go so that they and their force pike are flung into the fence, zapping them and taking them completely out.
Now here's the question, Bad Deer Ben.
Yo.
What about your two advantage?
I'm going to say that on the horizon, maybe at, like, Illyn can see them, but they're at least medium range from the punch group, they're at least medium range from the punch party. It's going to be Gurk, who's running towards the group. He's got a heavy blaster pistol out and looks to be looking for some trouble.
Their leader is on their way to your position.
Okay, so the last thing I'm going to do for this session is do a check-in with the party, with the person who decided to split the party.
Illyn, you mean.
The other person who agreed to it.
Yeah, the person who actually split the party.
Fair enough.
Illyn doesn't have that kind of authority, Barrowin.
Illyn's the one who was like, I want to go snipe. Sorry, Illyn wants to go snipe.
So yes, Barrowin is off attempting to get a new ride.
Yep.
So what is Barrowin off and doing?
So we only saw the one truck.
Yes.
I mean, she's probably
the
heading.
Case only saw the one truck, yes.
She's probably heading for the train, frankly. Or the tracks, anyway.
All right. Yeah, there is an armored, this is a repulsor train set, so and it runs not exactly on tracks, but on a sort of walled-in area that goes from these, what they call squats.
Yeah, it seems to at least just have, walls to stop it from falling off, because it's a raised...
Yeah.
It's a raised track, so if it fell off, it would be a problem.
Yeah, and, it goes from different locations on the planet. One of them's like 10 Mile Plateau and the other one's Yellowa.
Yep. So if there appears to be a spot where there's like anything like a switch house, or I know it wouldn't necessarily be a switch house, but or a place to get on the train or to stop the train or to communicate with the train, wherever, whatever the next one would be. In any of those things is what she'd be looking for first.
The train itself doesn't come that close to this camp. It actually, the closest one probably would have been a fifth wheel. That it's about 5 clicks, 10 clicks off.
Oh, okay. I did not grok that relationship. I thought the train was here or near here.
The actual pathway comes close, but the closest stop that you can see once you get up to the top of one of the mounds, you can see the sort of walls go, and then you can see a place off about, you figure it's about 5-8 clicks, that is pretty much where Evan said that they were heading off to, which was a shanty town called Fifth Wheel.
Okay. I am not sure I would have split off given that relationship. I thought there was something much more available, was my understanding.
Where are they sending the stuff they're mining then?
They load it on the truck and take it to into town, because it's not... It's only about 30, 40 clicks out of town. Like, it's not super out of town, but the amount of garbage and whatnot, it makes it really painful to get a ship in. So, yeah, they're mostly taking it through hover truck. Or they've got other people come out and do pickups.
Did, so follow-up question that could still have Barrowin be doing something to this effect. Yeah, I mean, I guess I could flip a point.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe, like, another truck shows up or something. Like, something that gives us more transportation options could be a thing.
I mean, that could totally work, especially with that point.
Can I introduce a thing on the train track with a point?
Yeah, I could go with that, too.
Okay, I will, in that case, once Barrowin has reached the top of a good-sized pile of junk so she has a good vantage point, I will flip a destiny point to say that she spots at a point of the track that's pretty nearby, reasonable walking distance, what looks like maybe sort of like a maintenance junction or something. Like, it's clearly not a place the train would normally stop, but it is a place that is accessible from the ground and maybe has some kind of signal in case it's like, oh, there's something on the track ahead, you gotta stop, this is
okay. Yeah, sort of like
an abnormal situation
siding.
Yeah,
gotcha. Yeah, I can definitely go with that.
Yeah, so she's going to go there.
All right. Yeah,
and you have
so...
the speeder.
Yeah, I could take the speeder. I guess I would prefer it still be walking distance ish because it will take us a long time to drive people back and forth.
Well, honestly, 50 people hoofing it 5 kilometers isn't exactly that.
Well, I was hoping that walking distance wasn't 5 kilometers.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. No, in this case, going... I'm figuring that, yeah, it's going to be maybe a 10-15 minute walk.
Okay, that's fine. I can work with that. Besides, honestly, like leaving the speeder where Illyn can get to it, maybe, is just... will give Illyn options.
Mm-hmm.
If one of these other groups needs help.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm just trying to make it so you are still, like, taking action and things are occurring and you're not just, like, in transit while all the fighting and things go down.
I mean, I'm fine being in transit. I separated myself knowing that that's maybe what it meant.
Barrowin is heading off to try and get a train to transport all these people back to civilization. Thank you for listening to this episode of Heroes of the Hydean Way. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydean Way, and you can find me, Ben, on Twitter at Deuterium Ice.
You can find me, Leslie, at LeslieGS, probably laughing about stupid words and how funny they sound.
You can find me in all of my very intense professionalism over here, Ren, at Atomic Firebird.
You can find me, Brandon, at Blue of the Kin.
And you can find me, Christine, and Illyn on Twitter at 12th Night. That's 12th Night with a K. And if you want to hear more from me, you can find me playing some D&D 5th edition over at my other podcast, The Glass Dagger, at CompleteKnight.com, also Knight with a K.
We are all at TheHydeanWay.com, where you can find previous episodes and our sister podcast, Tales from the Hydean Way.
Our podcasts are on Apple and Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify, where you can find more episodes and help us out by rating and reviewing the show.
We are also on Facebook as Heroes of the Hydean Way, and you can holocom us at heroes@thehydeanway.com.
If you like what we do and want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thehydeanway.
Or you can donate a calf to us at ko-fi.com/thehydeanway.
Okay, and now for obligation, I rolled a 92.
So nobody?
Nope. It squeaks past. No one.
Ah, It would appear that someone has left this power conduit exposed. Perhaps I should close it before.
Not so fast, Billy.
Berwin!
Hello, Betor Berwin.
You shouldn't play around live power conduits. The sort of power surging through those could be deadly.
I assure you, I'm quite insulated against electric shock. Were you just waiting in the airlock for someone to pass by?
Just roll with me for a second here, Billy.
Yes, Betor Berwin. What should I do if I come across a live power conduit?
You should let Mir Cav know. In fact, if you see anything on the ship that looks unsafe or that you're not sure about, you should tell a responsible adult right away. In space, safety is no joke.
I am curious about your definition of responsible adult.
What are Berwin and Billy doing?
We are learning about starship safety.
Cav, this is kind of a private thing.
Well, shouldn't Cav be part of the safety lesson? Cav does most of the maintenance.
No.
Yes.
Come back in a few minutes, Cav.
Okay. Cav has work to do anyway.
I fear I do not understand the purpose of this exercise.
It's called parenting.
Who are you talking to?